I want to ask you to open your Bible to the little book called 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, please. And would you find chapter 4 of 2 Timothy? I want to read again a passage of scripture that I have read for the last couple of weeks. And I want to read it again today. And I want to share with you this message today, the charge to the preacher. 2 Timothy is the last letter that the Apostle Paul ever penned. Chapter 4 is the last chapter of that great book. These are the last words that the Apostle Paul would write. And we need to approach it like that, that this is important. He has something to say. And I want to read this morning to you the first five verses of 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want to ask you to join me in standing today as I read our text. Paul said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Verse 5 says, But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. I'll stop right there. These are words that every preacher needs to read seriously. And they're also the words that every congregation needs to read seriously as well as we think about what God has called the preacher to do. This is the job description for the pastor. And I hope that you and I will learn something from it today. Would you pray with me, please? Father, today we are a needy people. Father, I know that in my own heart and mind that I need you today. And I need your strength. And God, I need for your sweet Holy Spirit to take control of my heart and my mind, my tongue, and that you would speak through me today the things that you want me to say. And Father, I also know that in this congregation there are all kinds of needs. Lord, there are some who know what it is to be needing a miracle. And Lord, we're grateful today that you are the miracle-working God and that you can do great and mighty things. And God, we ask you to move in every life and in every situation. Father, we also know that the greatest miracle that you ever perform is whenever you reach down and you take a soul that's sinned and deserving of hell and you wash us off with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And give us new life and the promise of heaven. God, I pray in this room today that there might be someone who will decide this is their day to commit their life to Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that all of us will decide even now that whatever you ask us to do in these moments that remain, that our answer to you will be yes. So Lord, please speak and help us to hear and obey. For it's in your name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. I'm looking at the charge to the preacher. And Paul begins with verse 1 with that word charge. I charge thee therefore is a word which means I commission you, I challenge you. It can be interpreted, I command you. These are the words that God is speaking through the great preacher and apostle, church planter, soul winner, missionary, Paul. And he writes these words to that young preacher boy by the name of Timothy. And so he said, I'm charging you before God. What an audience. Before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to judge you. He'll judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. So this is a very solemn statement. Timothy, I'm charging you to be a preacher of the word. And you need to understand that one of these days, that whenever Jesus Christ comes again, he has watched and heard every sermon you've ever preached. So he says in verse 2, preach the word. Make sure you're preaching the word. Preach as a herald. Lift up your voice. The word as the word of God, the Bible, from Genesis to the Revelation. Preach all the word of God. Timothy, this is your challenge. This is your call. Preach the word. Don't deviate to the left or to the right. Preach the word. Then he says this, and I pick up here today. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. In verse 1, I spoke about the solemnness of the charge. In the first part of verse 2, I talked about the subject of the charge. And in the latter part here of verse 2, I want to talk to you a little bit about the scope of the charge. What is it that you're supposed to preach? Well, we know he said you're supposed to preach the word. A lot of people have opinions about what the pastor ought to preach about. All kinds of subjects they want the pastor to preach about. Preach about prophecy. Preach about the family. Preach about finances. All kinds of topics that they want the preacher to preach about. I said last Sunday morning that whenever God called us to preach, he called us to preach the word, and I believe that if a pastor will preach the word, he will eventually talk about every topic that needs to be talked about. So just hang in there. If we hadn't got to the one that you need, hang in there. Unless what you want me to talk about is not in the Bible, we'll eventually get there. So he said, preach the word. It's not always easy preaching the word. I have a little figurine in my office somebody gave me a long time ago. And it's the figurine, it's one of those precious moments figurines. Some of you are probably familiar with those. And it's a figurine of a preacher standing behind a pulpit like this. And as he stands behind it, much like I am today, his Bible is open, lying there on the pulpit. And there is a splattered egg on the floor. There's two more splattered eggs on the front of the pulpit. There's another egg sitting on top of the preacher's head. There's an empty can that says beans on it that evidently somebody had thrown at the preacher as well. There's a Band-Aid on his forehead. I don't know who gave that to me years ago, but I guess reminding me that it's not always popular to be a preacher. Sometimes I think Paul maybe should have wrote, preach the word and duck. So what is the scope of the preacher? What is he supposed to preach? Well, we know he's supposed to preach the word. The word is the Bible. But he gives us some instruction here that I think is very important to every preacher. And I want to suggest four things in verse 2 about the scope of the charge. Whenever you preach the word, here's the first thing I want you to see. First of all, he said, preach the word consistently. In my text, he said it like this, be instant in season, out of season. Be ready. Be instant in season. That's what the word instant means. It means be ready. Every pastor should always be ready to preach the word. Somebody said the job of a preacher is you need to be ready to preach, pray, or die at any moment. Be ready to preach. There ought to be an eagerness in preaching the gospel. There ought to be an urgency in preaching the gospel. Every preacher needs to always be ready to preach. A preacher ought to be willing to preach at the drop of a hat and drop his own hat if he needs to. Jeremiah was always eager to preach. Listen to what he said in chapter 20 of verse 9 in his prophecy. Jeremiah said concerning the word of God, he said, "His word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." Do you hear what he's saying? He said, the word of God was like a fire burning inside me, and I could not keep it within me. That's an urgency. That's being ready to preach. The Apostle Paul said to the Romans in chapter 1, verse 15, he said, "I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." Paul had literally rimmed the Mediterranean Sea preaching the gospel, but he had not been to Rome, the capital of the ancient world. He had not been to Rome, but he said, "I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome." Peter said over in the little epistle of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, he said, "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Always be ready. A preacher must always be ready. Listen, I want to say today that preaching is not a 9-to-5 job. Being a pastor is not a 9-to-5 job, Monday through Friday job. And I will say to anyone here today who maybe is already a preacher or somebody who may someday be called to be a preacher, if you're looking for a Monday through Friday, 9-to-5 job, you don't want to be a preacher of the gospel. You're always on call. You're always on the clock. There are long hours in preaching the word of God. But what Paul is saying to the preacher, he said, there ought to always be an eagerness to preach, looking for an opportunity to preach. Since this happened yesterday, it's fresh on my heart. I think every preacher ought to be like a racehorse lined up for the Kentucky Derby, waiting for the gates to open. Charged up. Anybody watch that yesterday? I mean, you've seen that, right? You've seen them in the starting gate, waiting for the gate to open. That is what Paul is talking about here, is be ready to preach, always eager to preach, ready to go, chomping at the bit, if you will, to preach the gospel. He says, so instant, be ready. Now here's how. He only says the preacher ought to preach two times. He said, be ready instant in season and out of season. That's the only time the preacher is supposed to preach. In season, out of season. What's that mean? All times. There may be a turkey season, but there's no preaching season. And they may be one and the same. I'm not sure. Be ready to preach in season, out of season. You can translate to say, be instant and preach the word of God when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. When it's timely and it's not timely. When it's accepted and when it's not accepted. Preach the word when it's welcomed and when it's not welcomed. Listen to what I'm saying. Preach the word when it's popular and when it's not popular. Just preach the word. Preach it when they like it and preach it when they don't like it. That's what he was saying. And by the way, we're living in a day when biblical preaching is, this would be what Paul called out of season. Because this is the day that people don't flock to hear biblical preaching. The modern church is more concerned with music and drama and dancing and technology and entertainment and than the preaching of the word of God. I told a little story last Sunday morning about the man who wanted to buy a bird that would talk. You might remember that. And when I told that story, I thought of this. And I'm not telling it again, okay? If you missed it, you missed it. But I told the story about a little bird that died because of the lack of any of his owner buying the bird seed, but he bought the mirror and the ladder and the swing and all that sort of thing. I'm simply saying to you, the modern church has all the bells and whistles and the smoke and the mirrors, but we don't have the preaching of the Word of God. And Paul was saying here, he said, I want you to preach it, be ready to preach in season, out of season, when it's popular and when it's not popular. I mean, when I was preaching through the book of Acts, I came to chapter 7. Chapter 7 is the story of a good deacon. I just say a deacon named Stephen. I guess I ought to let you in on my humor here, because I used to always call him that good deacon Stephen. I would call him that good deacon Stephen until one of my deacons in a former church came up to me and said, are you saying that only good deacon's a dead deacon? Because Stephen got stoned, if you know the story. So I'm not saying that at all. He was a good deacon. But you remember what happened? I was preaching through that passage, and I got to Acts chapter 7. And Stephen stood up and he preached, and he began with Abraham. He preached all the way through Jesus. And when he got through preaching, the Bible says that they drug him outside the city. They picked up rocks and they stoned him to death. And I titled that sermon, The Kind of Preaching That Will Get You Killed. That's the world we live in. Paul said, if you're going to preach the word, you preach it consistently. You be ready to preach it in season, out of season, when it's popular and when it's not popular. Secondly, notice this. He also said, preach the word convincingly. You're going to see some little words here in the latter part of this second verse that some of them are kind of similar, but yet there's a little bit of difference. So let me try to distinguish them for you today. So not only did he say, preach the word in season and out of season, but he also said, and reprove. The word reprove is a word which means convince. Convince them of what? Convince them of where they're wrong. That's what reproving is. It's convincing somebody of where they're wrong. And how many of you know that most of us don't like anybody telling us where we're wrong? So it's not a popular job. So he says, you reprove it, you tell people where they're wrong. And by the way, this is not the first time, this is the second time that Paul uses that same word back in chapter 3 of verse 16, if you still have your Bible open there, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, when he said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and reproof. There it is. It's profitable for doctrine and reproof. And now he says, whenever you preach the word, he said, reprove. I want you to hear this today. What Paul is saying was that if you're going to be a preacher of the Word of God, there is a negative side to the Word of God. And that's not what our world wants. Everybody wants positive preaching today. We want everything to be positive. But yet, what Paul said was, he said there, you have to reprove. That is, there's a negative side of the gospel. There is a confrontive side of the gospel. Listen to what I'm saying, church. If you preach about the sin of the day, there's going to be confrontation with the world that we live in, and sometimes even in the church of Jesus Christ, if you preach against sin. By the way, the Old Testament prophets had no problem preaching against sin. Jeremiah preached against idolatry. That was the big sin of his day. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. He says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken the fountain of living waters and have hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. That is, he said, they have taken the one and the only true God, and they have put him aside, and they picked up all these false gods that are nothing but idols. And so in the day of Jeremiah, whenever there were idols that were everywhere, he stood up and he preached against the sin of his day. I hope you hear what I'm saying. That's what reproved me. As a matter of fact, whenever you read about a man by the name of John the Baptist, John the Baptist preached against sin in his day. He preached against the sin of Herod. Listen to Luke chapter 3, verse 19. The Bible says, "But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved," there's that word, "being reproved of him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for the evils which he had done." Herod had taken his brother Philip's wife, and he had divorced and then taken his brother's wife. And whenever John the Baptist heard about that, he stood up and preached against the sin of his day. I hope you remember this whenever it comes time to preach, sometimes against the sin of the leaders even in our own country today. He preached against sin. By the way, Jesus preached against sin. Did you know that? Jesus preached against sin on the Sermon on the Mount. Read again Matthew chapter 5, that great sermon that we talk about that Jesus preached. He preached against sin. What did he preach against? He preached against murder. He preached against adultery. He preached against divorce. He preached against lying. Jesus preached against the sin of his day. And I'm going to say to you, any preacher that's worth his salt will preach against the sins of the day. And sometimes that comes off and makes people mad. That's why he said you need to reprove. But people will never repent of their sin unless they know that it is sin, unless they're confronted with their sin. And so you have to preach and do part of that is reproving. A part of that saying negative things. I've been in homes. I've been confronted after church about some sin that I had preached against. But my dear friend, in the world that we're living in, when everything seems to be okay with so many people, and they're all constantly saying, do this, do this, sometimes the preacher has to stand up and say, that's wrong. That is against the Word of God. Somebody told me one time, "Pastor, you're always rubbing the kitty the wrong way." And I said, "It's because the kitty's going in the wrong direction. If the kitty will turn around, I won't be rubbing it in the wrong way." And so Paul said, whenever you preach, always be ready to preach, whether it's popular or unpopular. And whenever you preach, he said, you need to reprove. Convince people of things that are wrong. Thirdly, we're looking at the scope of the charge. And then he says, not only reprove, he says rebuke. So if you're taking notes today, I'm saying to you that you need to preach the word consistently. That's be instant in season, out of season. Preach the word convincingly. That's the reprove. And I'm going to say to you, preach it courageously. That's rebuke. They're closely related, reprove and rebuke. MacArthur says in his commentary, reprove has to do with the mind and rebuke has to do with the heart. And by the way, our modern world doesn't like to be reproved and they don't like to be rebuked. I've been called narrow-minded. I've been called unloving. I've been called intolerant. I've been called hateful. I've been called homophobic. I've been called all kinds of names. Why? Because I've tried to preach the word and reprove and rebuke when it's popular and it's not popular. See, what happens to the preacher, and boy, keep this in his context, if you will. Here's the Apostle Paul, who was bold as a lion, writing to young Timothy, who was very timid and oftentimes intimidated, and he's saying to him, he said, you need to get a little backbone, if you will, and preach the Word of God, and don't be afraid to reprove people. Don't be afraid to rebuke people. And that word not only passed along to Timothy, but passed down through the ages to me and to others who will come, but those who will follow after me even whenever I'm dead and gone. Know this today, that if you decide that you're going to preach the Word of God and you're going to do it consistently and you're going to do it courageously and you're going to do it conventionally, it's not always going to be popular, and there are going to be people who will leave your church and go to another church down the street where they don't address things like that. Why? Because they just want the positive preaching. Just a lot of people just say, just preach on love, preacher. Just preach on love. Do you know there's no record in the Bible of Jesus Christ ever preaching a sermon on the love of God? Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't believe in it, of course, but it simply means there's no record of it, but he did preach against sin. So it takes courage, I'm saying to you, to preach in the world that we live in. And somebody might say, well, Pastor, if I preach the Word and I say what the Word says about the sin of our day, then I won't be a very popular preacher. And I would say this to you today. God did not call you to be a popular preacher. God called you to be a powerful preacher of the Word of God. It's not about being popular. It's about being faithful to the Word of God. He called you to preach the Word. Did I tell you last week that I was going to preach to myself a little bit and allow you to listen in? That's a little bit what's happening right now. And then there's one other thing. I want you to notice this. He also said to preach the Word compassionately. And if you haven't liked anything I've said so far, maybe you'll like this. Preach the Word compassionately. He says, reprove, rebuke, listen to this, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. You know what the word exhort means? Encourage. Encourage. It's the little Greek word parakaleo. It literally means to come alongside. It's a word that is used to describe the Holy Spirit in John's gospel when he talked about when Jesus said, whenever I go up, I'm going to send the comforter back down. And the word comforter is that Greek word parakaleo, the paraclete. That is, he's the one who's going to come alongside it. And isn't that what happens whenever you place your faith in Jesus Christ? The Holy Spirit of God comes alongside you and encourages you. So what he's saying here, he said, whenever you preach, yes, reprove. Yes, rebuke. Yes, do it instant, in season, out of season. But whenever you preach, always do this as well. But exhort, encourage. What does that mean? It means this. Listen, there is a negative side of the gospel, but there is a positive side of the gospel. And what Paul was saying to Timothy is, preach them both. Have some balance. And by the way, I found this to be true in my almost over 50 years of preaching now, is it is oftentimes the negative side of the gospel that stirs someone's heart to receive the positive side of the gospel. And you remember what the Bible says about itself. It says it is sharper than a two-edged sword. What is a two-edged sword? A two-edged sword, it's a sword that cuts both ways. And so the Word of God has a negative side and a positive side. And so whenever you preach the Word and you're doing it when it's popular, when it's not popular, and sometimes you're rebuking and sometimes you're reproving, but sometimes you're exhorting, sometimes you're encouraging people so that they can hear the positive side of the gospel. But you need to know that the wages of sin is death before you know that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's exactly the order that the Bible puts it in, right? In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it's the wages of sin that's death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Are you getting this? There are two sides of the gospel. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's negative. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's negative. The wages of our sin is death. That's negative. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's positive. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, that's positive. So whenever you read the Word of God, and Paul was saying, Timothy, whenever you preach the Word of God, he said, preach both sides of the Word of God. And notice this, he says, and you exhort and encourage with all long-suffering and doctrine. Long-suffering. What does that mean? Somebody would say, well, that's what happens to people when they sit in church a long time. They're long-suffering. Well, it's actually a word that means patience. Patience. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. With all long-suffering. So whenever you're preaching the Word of God, you got to have some patience. Why? Because when you're preaching the Word of God, sometimes you're sowing the seed in somebody's heart. And they're hearing for the very first time the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes whenever you're preaching the Word of God, you're putting some water on that seed. And so it begins to take root and sprout. Sometimes whenever you're preaching the Word of God, God allows you to be harvesting the crop and seeing people come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. But sometimes it takes a while, right? To plant a seed and to grow a vine and produce some fruit. So Paul said to Timothy, he's saying to him, he said, you preach the Word of God, and you reprove, you exhort, all those things. But he said, you do it with patience, long-suffering. And he also said, and doctrine. Now, there's a word that a lot of people don't like, but I'm going to tell you it's a good word. What's it mean? It means teaching. So whenever you're reproving and rebuking and exhorting, he said, make sure you're teaching the Word of God, teaching sound doctrine. Whenever I look at what he's saying here of exhorting and long-suffering and doctrine, when I look at that, I think that's the fun side of preaching. That's the good side of preaching. Because what he's saying is whenever you're preaching, there has to be some conviction, but there also needs to be some compassion. You have to tell a person that the wage of sin is death, but you don't tell somebody the wage of sin is death and just hold them out over the pits of hell and enjoy the barbecue. No, you point them to Christ and you say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you're telling the truth, but you're doing it with compassion. I think it's what Paul said in another place talking about speaking the truth in love. I want to preach the truth. I always want to be a preacher of the truth, but I want to preach it in such a way that people know that God loves them and God can forgive them and God will save them. I think that's what Paul tried to do. That's why whenever he gave his farewell address to the church at Ephesus there in Acts chapter 20, he said, I've been faithful to preach unto you the counsel of God. Boy, I think that's the goal of every preacher, to be able to say when all is said and done, I've preached the whole Bible. I've told you everything. I've not held anything back. As you probably know by now, I mean, I love this chapter. I love these verses. They speak to my heart. I hope they speak to your heart as well. So whenever you look at the job description of the preacher, he said, preach the word. Be instant in season. Out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. When I was a teenage boy, and I say teenage, I was barely a teenager, I was 13, 14 years of age. I had a little job, I was a paper boy. I don't even know if there still are paper boys today. I was a paper boy. Now, for those of you who don't understand, let me explain. My little town I grew up in was about 100 miles west of Oklahoma City, and there was a statewide newspaper called the Daily Oklahoman. And people all over the state subscribed to the Daily Oklahoman. Well, I was a paper boy. I delivered the paper. If you lived in my little small town of about 600 people and you paid for the Daily Oklahoman, I was your paper boy. And what I did was, in the morning time, they would deliver the paper to a little convenience store called Jeff's, and I would get up early in the morning, and I would get on my 55cc Yamaha, and I would ride down to Jeff's. I'm telling you, folks, it's like 4 o'clock in the morning. It's dark. And I would go to Jeff's, and the truck had delivered this stack of Daily Oklahoman newspapers. And I would sit down there on the ground in front of that store, nobody else around, just me. It's probably not the sort of thing you do in the world that we live in today, right? But just me, and I would sit there, and I would take those Daily Oklahomans. And what you do, you take it and you fold it this way, you fold it that way, then you roll it up, you put a rubber band around it. Am I preaching over y'all's head right now? And I would take every one of those newspapers, and I would sit there, I'd fold it this way, fold it that way, roll it up, put a rubber band around it. And then I had a saddlebag. It was like a canvas that had a hole and it fit over my head, and there was a bag over here and a bag over here. And I would put newspapers over here, and I'd put newspapers over here until I had all those newspapers rolled up. And then I'd crank up that 55cc Yamaha, and I'd get on that thing, and away I'd go. And I would go out there delivering that newspaper. Now, here's the thing I'm trying to get you to understand today, that if you're going to be a paper boy, and you've got a saddlebag on with papers on both sides, you need to make sure that you stay balanced. If all you're doing is throwing out of one side, after a while, this side gets real heavy. And that becomes real dangerous whenever you go to making the curve. So what you have to do is you have to throw out on this side and then throw out on this side to keep it balanced. June the 9th, 1968, God called me to be his paper boy. He called me to be his preacher of the gospel. And the goal of the preacher was what Paul was saying here to Timothy. He said, whenever you preach the word of God, you can't just preach one side all the time. You have to preach the other side as well. Because as I've tried to say to you this morning, it's oftentimes the negative side of the gospel that prepares us to receive the positive side of the gospel. And so you have to preach all the word of God. So you have to be balanced in reproving and rebuking and exhorting. I like what one commentator said about preachers. He said, if we have conviction but no compassion, then we will be like a rattlesnake. People will respect us, but they won't want to get close to us. We will have a message, but no audience. He said, on the other hand, if we have compassion without conviction, listen to this, the people will be drawn to us, but our life will have no cutting edge to significantly help them. We will have an audience, but no real message. If you hear what he's saying today, he said, if all we do is preach conviction, if all we do is preach the reproving and the rebuking, but we don't preach the compassion, we don't exhort people, then people are going to be afraid of us and they'll stay away from us. We'll have a good message, but we won't have anybody to share it with. I don't think that's the problem of the modern church so much. I think the modern church probably goes to the other extreme. And that is oftentimes the modern church is preaching so much about love, love, love that they don't preach against sin. Then what happens is you have a big crowd, but you don't have a message that will change their lives. And so we need both. I quoted to you or mentioned Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, in case you want to know where that reference is, where the Bible says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So the negative side brings conviction to receive the positive side. I've said this before, and I'll just say this, and I'm going to wrap this up. When I was a paper boy, you would have liked me. You would have liked me to be your paper boy. And I'll tell you why. Because my goal, if you were on my route, when I went by your house and I took that newspaper, I would come to your house and I would throw that newspaper up on your front porch. And my goal was to put it right outside your front door so that whenever you got up in the morning and you came to get your morning paper, all you had to do was open that door, reach down, and pick it up, because it's right there. Now, you'd like that, wouldn't it? That was my goal as a paper boy. Hear what I'm saying. That was my goal. Sometimes it went on the roof. Sometimes it went under the bushes out front. But my goal was always to put it right there. When God called me to preach, and God called me to be His paper boy, my goal as your pastor is to take this book and put it right there in front of you so that you can hear it and understand it and respond to it. I don't want to be preaching over your head. That doesn't help you a bit. I don't want to be preaching under your feet either. I want to put it right there in front of your heart so that the Word of God and the Spirit of God can work together to bring conviction that will bring salvation to your heart. And church, I'm just trying to tell you, man, God loves you. There's not a person in this room today that God doesn't love. No matter how unlovely you think you are, no matter what you've done or what you've said, I'm telling you today, God loves you. That's positive. But I'm going to tell you this too. The Word of God says that all of us in this room, every one of us, without exception, every one of us, we're all sinners. Yep. That's not what you came to hear on Sunday morning, is it? We're all sinners. What's that mean? We do things that are wrong. We think things that are wrong. We say things that are wrong. We violate the truths that are found here in the Word of God. The Bible says that sin is the transgression of the law. It's breaking the law of God. Every one of us is guilty. Every stinking one of us are guilty. That's negative. But the Bible says God so loved you that He gave His Son for you. And there's nobody in this room today that couldn't be saved if you're willing to ask Jesus to forgive your sin and be your Savior. That's positive. You see? That's what Paul was telling Timothy to do. He said, I want you to preach the Word. What's the Word? It's the Bible. What's the Bible? Genesis to Revelation, everything in between. Preach all the Word of God. And whenever you do it, be instant. Be ready to do it. Always be prepared to preach the Word of God and do it instant, in season, out of season, when they like it and when they don't like it, when it's popular and it's not popular, when it's convenient and it's not convenient, when it's timely and it's not timely. Just preach the Word of God. Even if somebody's sitting there and says, I don't like the way he preaches, it's not about whether they like the way you preach or not. It's whether or not you preach the Word. Amen. He said, preach the Word of God. And you reprove, you rebuke, you exhort. With all longsuffering and doctrine. Make sure you preach the truths of the Word of God. And just put it right out there in front of people's hearts. And then call upon them to make a commitment of their life to Jesus Christ. And as I said last Sunday morning, if you're going to preach that, when you get done preaching, give people an opportunity to respond to what God said for them to do. Call upon people to say, listen, if you know you need to be saved, give your heart to Christ today. If you know you need to get baptized, then come today and say, man, I need to get baptized. If you know this is the church where God has brought you to and you ought to become a member of this church rather than somebody just sitting on the sidelines. And if you want to be able to say, this is my church, then come join this church today and invest in this church today with your life and your influence. So hopefully I've taken God's newspaper and just put it out in front of your heart today. But now it's your response and your opportunity to do what God wants you to do. I don't know what that is. I'm not a betting man, but I bet you do. I bet you know exactly what God wants you to do. And it's time to do it right now. I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. In just a moment, we're going to stand. We're going to sing our final song. During this song, I'm asking you to do whatever it is God is calling you to do. There are some folks in this room today who've never given their lives to Jesus Christ. And today, I want to encourage you to do that. There are some folks in this room today that you already know Jesus as your Savior, but yet God's been dealing with you about something. I don't know what it is, but you do, and so would you come today? Don't wait another day. Folks, listen to me. The clock is ticking. Time is passing by. Every day outside of God's will is a wasted day. It's a wasted day. So if you know what God wants you to do, maybe there's some young man here today. God's calling you to preach. And you want to come today and say, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Father, today we thank you for your presence in this room. And thank you, Lord, for loving us and sending your Son, Jesus. And I pray that right now, all across this room, and even those who are watching online or listening by radio, God, that there's something you want us to do, that our yes is to you today, that we're just putting our yes on the altar, and we're saying, God, whatever you want me to do, I'm coming to do it right now. And Lord, I pray that there be folks in this room that it doesn't matter if nobody else comes. If you want them to come, that they will come. So Lord, please have your way in every life. And we're going to thank you and praise you for what all you do. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you join me in standing right now? As we began to sing, there's something God wants you to do. It's between you and God and nobody else. So you just do what God wants you to do right now while we sing.